You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel. We've got all-weather racing at Kempton on the domestic front, a card which includes an all-weather championship fast-track qualifier and some good racing over in Ireland over the obstacles at Leopardstown. A Grade B handicap hurdle, a Grade A handicap chase and a Grade 2 novice chase on their card, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Right, before we get stuck into Sunday's racing, we'll have a quick look through some of the news stories. And we'll start with the performance of Don Cossack the other day, Mick. He jumped around well, did what he was asked, really, and all systems go for the Gold Cup now.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing was, Mark, that he got the clear round in after his fall in the King George, and he didn't want to go to Cheltenham on the back of that experience.
No.
And so as far as that was concerned, it was mission accomplished. We didn't learn anything fresh about him or whatever. He just looks to be getting a little bit lazy. He always wanted a bit of stroke. You know, remember how he responded to McCoy's ride at Aintree?
Yeah.
He just also wants stoking. I think Gordon's thinking about putting the cheap pieces on him, which will probably be an asset. And he's just going to be a different horse come Cheltenham on better ground, Mark. End of story. That was just a get back into the winner's enclosure, get a clear round under his belt and just erase the memory of the King George.
Yeah, it gives Brian Cooper a chance to get to know him a little bit better as well, doesn't it?
Because
like you say, he's a horse that does need a little bit of attention.
I suppose as well, and it also gives him a bit of a headache with having to choose between himself and Don Pawley.
Yeah.
But
which would you choose, Mick, if you had the choice?
Don Cossack's got far more speed than Don Pawley.
Yeah, a bit more class as well.
Yeah.
He's 5-1 second favourite in the market for the Gold Cup, and it is non-runner money back as well.
Yeah.
Jack Adams 7-2 at the top of the market, 5-1 Don Cossack, Vator 11-2, 6-1 Don Pawley, Q Card 7s and 10s all bigger for the others. So.
Mm.
Would you say it's a fair enough each way bet?
I would. Yeah.
All right, a bit of other news to talk about, Mick. The old whip rules have
looks like it, doesn't it?
Caused debate once
they
again.
It won't go away, will it?
No, it won't.
I don't know why the jockeys don't just say, look, you know, we've brought in these air cushioned whips, which are, you know, just a whole different concept to the previous sticks. These don't mark them, they're much lighter. Why don't you just leave the jockeys alone and just get on with it? I mean, and these numbers, what is that all about?
Yeah.
Brian Huser has a good point. How can you have the same number of for a 5-furlong sprint and 3-mile chase? It just makes a nonsense of it. They don't want numbers. It's about intent and how it's applied.
Yeah.
But when they don't do any damage anyway, what are they worrying about?
Yeah.
Why not just say, well, we've gone as far as we're going to go. We brought in air cushion whips that have been approved by everybody in the business. And they don't mark horses. The vets have confirmed that.
Yep.
So just stop getting in a tiz about it and just leave it to the jockeys. Let them get on with it.
Yeah. It's interesting, really, because, as you mentioned, Brian Hughes has called for relaxed rules with regards to the numbers, whereas Sam Twiston Davis believes that the rules are working, so even the jockeys can't agree. But for me personally, I'd say judge it on its merit. If a horse is responding
exactly
to the whip and you're not beating the horse
exactly
up, then fair enough.
Exactly.
If
you should be counting.
Yeah.
You should be saying, how is he hitting that horse? Is he? You shouldn't be just going 1-2. Yeah, that's not the way to approach it. They're doing it from the wrong end, if you like.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous the way that they've got themselves in a lather about it.
Yeah. I mean, if a horse is getting whipped and he's not responding, then fair enough, that's a problem.
Totally out of contention.
Yeah.
Never likely to sort of get into contention.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But they've bitten the bullet by bringing in those air cushioned whips.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should scrap these numbers and just say to, I mean, Sam said in his column, you know, he's counting in his head now how many, and he waits as long as he can. you shouldn't be thinking like that. If you want to crack it halfway, you can't think, well, I could just do with a crack now to keep him in contention. Oh, but I might need that on the running. It's a ridiculous state of affairs to put the jockeys into. They've brought in the air-conditioned whip, judge each case on his mate. There's enough steward secretaries out there running around doing next to nothing to keep an eye on it, to let them sort of earn their wages and judge each case on its merits, if they can get it right, which I doubt.
All right, well, let's move on to something a little bit less contentious. The Denman chairs apparently could be a backup plan for many clouds, should Oliver Show decide that the Argento represents too stern of a task. He'd have a decent chance in either race, wouldn't he? He's a grand
horse. Yeah. And he's obviously bringing him to peak at Aintree.
Yeah.
And everything we've seen so far is bang on track. I do like to see these horses get a bit of competitive juice flowing in their veins. I don't like them sort of hidden away in hurdle races and all the rest of it. I know it works for some, but I do like to see good old chasers like him get competitive, just get cracking and go to Aintree with a good racing head on rather than, oh, just lobbing around and, you know, having an easy time of it.
Yeah.
Because when they go to Aintree, they won't. So, it'll be good to see him in action in one of those two.
Yeah, and apparently after that, the plan will be to go to Kelso, providing on the weather.
Which is the same route that Trevor's other national winner took, isn't it?
Ballabriggs, yeah. Which is, tried and tested.
Yeah, exactly.
Be good enough. Yeah, so hopefully we'll see him in action in peak form at Aintree. Hopefully we'll see Paul Maloney back as well, because he's targeting a return to the saddle, recovering from a broken leg at the moment. And we know he rides around the national course very well. So
yeah, and of course he'll be anxious to get back for the festival, won't he? So good timing, really, to come back now, give himself a month or so to get back into top form. And Evan will be glad to have him back, won't he?
Yeah, I imagine so, yeah. Anything else on your mind, Mick, before we move on?
No, just ticking over, isn't it, really? And it's that silly season. All the Christmas sort of big meetings are behind us. Don't know whether any of the wires. The trouble is mostly the form that we've been seeing, Mark, have been running atrocious ground.
Yeah.
And just how it's going to stand up when the ground dries out, it remains to be seen. There's a lot of overreaction from the bookmakers' reps to each race that's been run at the moment. On these reps in their city shoes, they ought to go and walk down onto that track and have a look, a walk on it between what, a second last and the last fence. The shoes would be left behind them after one step, wouldn't they? They'd be stuck in the mud. They've no idea how much effort these horses have got to put into it. And horses who can go through it, I've got such an advantage over horses who are better on better ground. Yeah. The good horses, the game horses, will battle their way through it. But the ones who are crying out for the better ground, they're just going to leave that all behind come the spring when we get some drying ground.
Yeah. It does pose a question as well, doesn't it? You know, some of the horses you think, that was a great performance, but it was in heavy ground. Is it going to be the same at Cheltenham in March? And likewise, when you look at Mince, he went through the heavy ground, you think he's going to be far better on better ground.
Exactly. So, the way he made the job look easy. Mm. And now all I see is, he's beaten nothing. Just a minute. You have a look at even winners on that day. They're falling over the line, exhausted. He looks as if he just joined in.
Yeah.
I don't care what he beat. Visually, he was superb. And you just wonder what he's going to be like on better ground, don't you? Goodness me.
It's frightening, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. Anyway, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Sunday's racing. Mick's going to look at three races for us at Leopardstown and one at Kempton. And we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday's action. We start at Leopardstown in the 225, which is a Grade B handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles. We've got a field of 25 in the lineup here, and this is pretty much as competitive as it gets, Mick.
Yeah, well, it's put the bookmakers in a bit of a tiz, hasn't it, with Kalkir, who's been so well backed all week, and now Ruby decides not to ride Kalkir. He's put himself on to business civiler, so they're running around like headless chickens now, not knowing what to do about the market. I'd be wary of them both. They're on the borderline for me. Both got 11 stone. We know how difficult this race is to win with anything other than 10 stone something on your back. And I've looked further down the handicap for my four against the field. Some of them are quite speculative. But you never know in a race like this. Absolute wide open contest, but do remember that 11 stone barrier. It's very hard to break.
All right, Mick. So which ones have made the shot?
I'll do them in race card order. The first one is Bamako Moore Riviere, who was a William Mullins runner, runs in the Richie Colours. DJ Mullins rides this one. It's the former conditional rider. That wasn't a bad first start for the stable in that listed hurdle in Limerick 3 weeks ago. That was that came on the back of just about a year off, so he's bound to be a bit ring rusty. His first run in Ireland, first run for New Connections, since showing smart form in France, and although he just lack a bit of experience, I think the raw talent is there, and I think he could certainly outrun his likely price anyway. I think he's probably going to be friendless in the market because Ruby's not interested. But he's certainly a horse who I was quite taken with. I know he was beaten a fair way in the end, but 12 and a half lengths isn't that far on heavy Limerick ground. And he was looked after, and he'll be all the better for the run. I think he's a very interesting runner off 1-3-3. I think the handicapper hasn't thrown him in, but he's also given him a chance. So that's one of them. The other one I like is Vive la France, another French bred. Adrian Heskin riding for Alan Fleming, runs in the colours of owner Barry Connell. Landed a bit of a touch when he won that handicap hurdle in Galway. It was 170 days ago, but he was very visually impressive. And he came on the back of a fall as well. He got brought down the time before, and he did really well to bounce back to win like that. He's left Tony Martin since then. I don't know what the reason for that was, but... He's got a bits and pieces of form that suggest that being absent is not a problem. He did win that off 1-1-9. I think he's 1-3-1, so he will have to have continued that level of improvement. But he's definitely of interest if he's strong in the market. That's number 14, Vive la France. The selection is going to be After Rain. Barry Geraghty, J.P. McManus has got 9 runners in this, and Barry's elected to ride this. Now, he could have taken the easy option and ridden something with a bigger weight rather than have to struggle to get a few pounds off to do 10 stone 4. But he stayed with After Rain, another French bred. It was only 6. Shea Barry trains. He's having a good season. He's won 2 of his 6. That last one at Wexford in October. And a very decent third at Ferry House in a very competitive little race last time we saw him 50 days ago, probably with his eye on this. Looks a very fair mark to me off 1-2-5, and with Geraghty doing the 10 stone 4, which he hasn't done very often this season, he's very taking. The market might get after him a bit on the day, but even so, it should be 6 or 8 to 1 the field regardless, shouldn't it? And the other one that might outrun its price is the mare Good as Gold. She comes here with a featherweight, Katie Walsh riding for Pat Fye, and she comes here on the back of a really good performance at Fairy House last time, which was her basically a career best for her. A little bit more on here in a much tougher race, but does come here in good heart after that confidence booster. But I'm going to give the vote to After Rain, but the two to keep an eye on. Maybe with an eye on the future as much as anything, at Bamako Moore Riviere and Vive la France.
Okay. After Rain, the selection for Mick then looks significant, that Barry Geraghty's down to 10 stone 4 there. The 3 o'clock at Leopardstown is where we go next. This one is a Grade A handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 12 of them in the lineup here, Mick. It's competitive, but luckily not as competitive as last time.
Not quite, no. Again, this has got a mix of trend. We've seen a couple of horses win it with... Big Ways Rare Bob, I think, won it with 11 stone 10 or something. And last year's winner, Fox Rock, carried 11 stone plus in it, didn't he? But it's quite often won by a horse with a low weight. I've gone one in the 11 stone bracket, and that's Fine Rightly, who's won 3 of his last 4, winning the last of them in Navan by 1¾ lengths. But having said that, Fever Pitch is effectively £8 better off with Fine Rightly on the bare bones of that form. And young Jack Kennedy's £5, which we shouldn't take too literally because Jack did ride him last time. But it certainly puts him down in the featherweights, 9 stone 5, Jack can do those sort of weights, and Fever Pitch definitely makes the shortlist. Killer Crow represents Jigginstown, Brian Cooper for Gordon Elliott. He's getting his act together. He was a horse I wasn't too sure about, but there's nothing wrong with the last two starts. A good second in Limerick last time after winning in Navan the time before that, when I did start to warm to him a bit more than he just let me down once or twice in the past. But does look to be getting his act together. But I'm going to give the vote again to Barry in the JP colours. Again, doing 10 stone 4, this time for the for trainer Tony Martin. This looks a lot easier than the Paddy Power, where he never got competitive. He just sort of acted around the back, looked to be getting into the race, made a semblance of a mistake. His rider seemed to accept it, and he just came home in his own time. But he's better than that, as we saw last year. And Barry, as I say, up for the first time. And even on the bare bones of that 9th of 28 in that Paddy Power at the Leopardstown Christmas, it wasn't a bad effort, even though he wasn't really put into the race that much. So I'm going to take a chance on Heathfield getting back to something like his last season's form.
Heathfield then for Mick in the 3 o'clock at Leopardstown. Moving on to the 3:30 at Leopardstown next. This one is a Grade 2 novice chase. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Only 5 of them in the lineup here. It's a race that Willie Mullins has a very good record in. He's won 3 of the last 4 renewals with Sir Deschamps, Jack Adam and Votor. So not a bad lineup of previous winners for him. And he's got Kalulta Vic here, Mick, who's probably going to be pretty short.
Yeah, he's going to win it again, isn't he? Kalulta Vic is... He made a very solid start to his chasing career, winning at Ferry House, looking a natural. He was a high class hurdler. Beat Thistlecrack, no less, in that Grade One in Punchestown towards the end of last season. That's when after he'd bolted up in the Martin Pipe at the Cheltenham Festival, and I'm sure he's Cheltenham Festival bound again. Don't forget, he also ran 6th of 22 in the Festival Bumper in 2014. Then he went to the back to the festival to win the Martin Pipe very impressively. Yeah, and I'd love to see him go for the Arkle, whether he will or not, because he stays further, as we know. But he's just got the right profile, stays further than 2. And that was 2 at Ferry House, wasn't it? And he was very impressive there. So it'll be interesting to see what the post-race comments about him are, assuming he wins, of course. But I expect him to. Lord Scoundrel's a bit disappointed in the last twice when a very warm favourite, so he might be vulnerable conceding weight all round, but not discounted if back to his best and if he's strong in the market. We know what good form Gordon Elliott's team are in. And the other one is Walk to Freedom. Jesse Harrington's got a string of good form. Going the right way over fences. The second McKinley franked the Navan form with a win, albeit at a lower level next time. But at least Walk to Freedom is going the right way. But this is all about Kalulta Vic barring accidents.
Kalulta Vic then the selection for Mick in the 3:30. For anybody who's interested, by the way, Kalulta Vic is currently 20-1 for the Arkle. Yeah, might shorten a little bit on the back of an impressive win there. But Willie Mullins does have Duvan, of course. So.
Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it? Yeah, so. Just a slight little problem in his way.
Yeah. The final race we'll look at is the 3:40 at Kempton, and this one...
Yeah, I'd nearly forgotten about that one.
It's a Class 2 condition stakes over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds. It's an all-weather championship fast-track qualifier. 5 of them in the lineup here, Mick. Which one do you think will win?
I think Gracious John will win. He showed his liking for the Polytrack last time at Lingfield. David Evans has got his string in terrific form, hasn't he? John Egan's won 4 times on him. He's a very smart, some very smart 2-year-old form in the book. I saw him run at York in midsummer, and I really was taken with him. And he's shown that he's trained on as well, which his main rival just has to prove. And I can't see it being a problem, but Field of Vision, who he ran well on his race course debut, Field of Vision, so the absence of 100 days, absolutely no problem. He's won from one on Polytrack, winning at Chelmsford in August, and he's got some pattern form. He was 2nd of 11 to Quiet Reflection in the Cornwallis Stakes at Newmarket. Just got to prove he's as good at 6 as Gracious John is. Of course, Gracious John wound up last season by winning a listed in Maison Lafitte. So we know he's, you know, how good he is. He's got to concede 3 pounds, gracious John, but I think he'll be up to it. I think the others have got too much on their plate against the big two, and I expect gracious John to continue winning ways.
Yeah, it does look like a match between the top two in the weights there, and gracious John then for Mick in the 340. As always, Mick, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, let's hope that Leopardstown don't suffer any reversals in the weather, but it's a really good card. The first one is the 225, this very competitive handicap hurdle, as it always is, and Barry Geraghty doing 10 stone 4 and after rain appeals to me. JP McManus has got 9 in the race. Barry could have taken the easy option, ridden one with a bigger weight, but he's going to do 10 stone 4 on after rain. You know, there might be one or two little each way angles in that, like some Vive la France and Bamako Riviere, but my main bet will be after rain in that 225. In the 3 o'clock, the Leopardstown handicap chase. I've seen it more competitive, this. And again, Barry doing 10 stone 4 on one of GAP's, riding it for the first time as well. Heathfield, trained by Tony Martin, who last time we saw him was ninth over this course at the Christmas meeting. And I think we'll see him leave that form behind. I get the feeling that we might, especially if he's very strong in the market. Fever Pitch, another one in the GAP colours, carrying the blue cap, might be his biggest danger. But Heathfield gets the vote in the Leopardstown 3 o'clock. In the 3:30, really good little novice chase, despite the lack of numbers. And it's a great opportunity for Kliltovic to make it 2 from 2 over fences. He was a very solid improving hurdler. We know he's up to the festival class, and he'll be festival bound again, I'm sure. That's Kliltovic in the 3:30. And in the 3:40 at Kempton, a really good class 2 here, which sees the admirable gracious John bidding to continue winning ways for his connections. John Egan bidding for his 5th win on him for trainer David Evans.
Superb. Good work, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy on Sunday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. It's myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel. We've got racing at Kempton on the Poly track domestically, and good racing over the obstacles in Leopardstown. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.